Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we're back. Let's go right to the phones. And joining us, as he does every week at 10 o'clock, is Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm looking outside. Looks like it's going to be another beautiful day. You know, we get a few storms that come through this time of the year. But other than that, the weather is just gorgeous. And if you want to get away from the heat, you can head up into the elevation a little bit. If you enjoy the little warmer weather, we've got all the plains to take advantage of. And there's so much going on. Fishing, hunting. Hard to even pick what to focus on, isn't it?
Very much so. And I'll tell you, if you've spent any time in the high country in the last, say, week or 10 days, you know, I know as much as my wife hates it when I say it, your wife's the same, but there is definitely a chill in the air. I'm up here at Spinney Mountain Reservoir, and I tell you, I was like shivering this morning. The temps are definitely dropping, you know, as of maybe 4 to 5 days ago. I would say that those fall tendencies are happening. Obviously, lots of summer left, but the overall temperatures at night and in those low light periods are definitely shrinking down. It's kind of that approach to fall and approach to fall fishing and fall hunting up here in the high country. You know, Front Range and plains are definitely still full peak summer, but the high country is starting to go through that morphing into that change, which we love to see.
Oh yeah, it is really. Yeah. You know, people talk about the dog days of summer, and really what happens is the fish get into a pattern where their feeding doesn't change much. There's a lot of food available. It's not that fishing isn't where you want it to be. It's just, it's different. But as we move towards fall, those fish are going to become more aggressive. They're going to start fattening up for the winter. The animals start moving, the hunting. It doesn't do much good to pattern the animals too much in June. You want to know kind of where they're at. But now they're starting to move into the locations where you're going to hunt, especially pronghorn. That starts just in a couple weeks, right?
I mean, that's it. It starts the 15th. So we are in full game plan, you know, mode, scouting everything for pronghorn. I mean, you really need to have your game plans in mind, especially if you're going to, you know, sit on a water hole, you're knowing which water hole. If you're going to set up a blind, you make sure you have all those kind of preparations in mind. And more so than anything, I would say a lot of the game plans for pronghorn have changed in the last, say, 2 weeks. You know, when we were in June and July, it was obviously, you know, one of the hotter months we've had. It was hot, it was cooking, we were almost extreme drought type conditions, to where I was saying that water holes were going to be the most effective way you could even dream of getting on pronghorn. Now I've literally hunted pronghorn with a bow every which way possible. I mean, from mirrors to, you know, to flagging them in, to decoys, to water holes, a spot and stock. You know, even used livestock to walk behind. So I've done everything, you know, known to man to hunt pronghorn. And this year I was really looking forward to a lot of water hole hunts, and that's kind of how the game plan was. We had a lot of moisture, say in the last 10 days, and I would say the amount of water holes in a lot of areas in certain regions of the state have doubled or tripled. I know I'm talking to hunters across the state that all of a sudden now are saying that they're, you know, they had pronghorn on their cameras every single day on their water holes. And in the last, you know, week or so, 10 days, that has changed. You know, now they're coming in every 3-4 days, every 6 days. So really a lot of that has changed. So you literally have 2 weeks to make those decisions. You know, hey, do I adjust my water hole and move to a water hole that the animals are hitting a little bit more, you know, just on a more steady basis? Or is it a situation to where it's time to abandon the water hole, or maybe that's just a plan B and you're going to approach with decoys or approach to a spot and stalk method, or even I don't want to say an ambush, but we do a lot of hunting on fence lines. A lot of people don't do this enough. I think it's probably one of the sleeper ways of pronghorn hunting with a bow. Pronghorn rarely jump a fence. They always go under a fence, and almost on a daily basis, even though it seems like it's slow, these animals move around a lot. You sit there and watch them glassing, and it seems like they're not moving much, but if you watch them all day, they're definitely having major migrations throughout the course of the day, and oftentimes those migrations lead to crossing a fence. Setting up a blind or even a stack of bushes or brush next to an area where these guys are dumping under fences is a fantastic way to get close, get the approach, and as they approach that fence, they start looking at that gap where they're going to cross the fence, and they really focus on the fence, and that gives you the time to draw your bow and make that shot. So literally hunting fence lines for pronghorn is one of the dynamite ways to do it, and it's easy to scout. You can get out there right now to the property you're hunting, find the fence lines that the animals are using, and you just walk those fences, and it's very easy to see where they drop underneath. You're going to see where that wire is a little loose. You're going to see almost a game trail going underneath it. A lot of times you'll have hair on the fence, but it's one of those things that once a pronghorn figures out the fence they like crossing under, they frequently do it. It's not like they go under every fence. They will pick a section, and oftentimes you'll have a half mile of fence, and you'll have one crossing that they like to cross at. So those are the type of things that you need to do now, especially if the area you're hunting has had a lot of rain and that water hole is getting filled up and there's little pockets of water everywhere. The backup plans are changing those plans. Now is the time to do that as, again, in 2 weeks, we'll be out here chasing pronghorn.
Oh, yeah. Although I will admit that to me, pronghorn hunting with a bow is to me like hunting doves with a shotgun. It's you get to shoot a lot, but you don't harvest a lot. But if people starting out, if this is their first archery season, if they're going after pronghorn, what are a couple of the biggest mistakes they make when they go after pronghorn?
I'd say the biggest thing is their vision is so much better than you ever give them credit for, more so than any animal out there. Their vision is absolutely impeccable. So, even when you're in a blind, I can't tell you how many times I've been caught drawing or caught moving to get things set up. So the biggest thing is in the final approach, whether you're using a decoy, whether you're in a blind, on the fence line, however your approach is, their vision is impeccable. So the final moments when you have to draw, when you have to move, when you have to use your range finder, that's when everything tends to go south. So number one, give these animals the credit they deserve. Know that they're going to pick up on movement, a mile away type thing. So really just have that in your head. When you're practicing right now, I know we always talk about practicing in the gear you're going to wear, and we beat the subject up, and people laugh at us for talking about this so much. But, now's the time to wear. You want to sit behind a decoy, and maybe you're sitting down, with your legs crossed, maybe on your knees, but knowing that you can successfully draw your bow. A lot of times I camp my bow all sideways to parallel the decoy. I draw in that fashion, and then I slowly upright to where I'm going to take the shot. But making sure that, even though you have a decoy, and know you have this approach, how are you going to draw? How are you going to physically do this in the field without these animals seeing you and getting very nervous? So it's things like that that you need to practice and get set up on right now. With the approach of the water hole, probably the biggest mistake I make, now this is very situational, but probably the biggest thing that I see hunters making the mistake on is they get the animal's pattern and they say, okay, every day between 2 and 4 is when pronghorn are hitting my water hole. So a lot of people will only get into that blind an hour before they start coming. Now, if you're in an area where you can make this amazing approach and not be seen by anything, you have the possibility of doing that. But generally speaking, I know so many hunters that pattern these animals at a certain time, and they try to sneak in there, an hour before they're normally getting there, and they ruin the hunt because even though the pronghorn are 600-700 yards away at this time, they see them coming in there. They see the truck. They hear the door slam, all of those type things, and they ruin the entire hunt by their approach into their blind, into their water hole. So when hunting a water hole, for me, even if they're hitting it in the afternoon, it's one of those things I dedicate to that water. If I'm going to hunt water, I dedicate it to it. I go in an hour before it gets light, get situated, you know, block all your wind, get comfortable, and just wait it out. It's hot. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable. It's boring. But regardless, if you want to have that success, that's probably one of the biggest mistakes you make is guys approaching their spot and ruining it before the action actually starts. So you make it a big day, get in that water hole. It'll shock you how that will increase your success. Even though you think they're far away, again, their vision is great. And a lot of times they bust you before it happens. So make the most of it, especially if you have animals on a pattern. Just dedicate to that hunt.
All right. Let's switch things up a little bit. What are you seeing going on fishing around the state?
I'll tell you, we have bites going all over the state, like you said, Terry. You know, I'd love to start talking about walleye first. You said the dog days, it's summer. You use that phrase. And I would say that right now, again, I still there's lots of time to tell, but the last 2 years, we have been on a low bait fish season at Chatfield, a low shad year, and we keep talking about how incredible the fishing was. You know, ice fishing, having 50, 60 fish days. I mean, Chatfield has been a place of the entire state of Colorado, if not the Western United States, a place to go to catch numbers of fish. So far from what I've seen from the shad hatch this year, the shad are at a full boom, which is a good and bad situation. It's absolutely great for the fishery. It's great for the walleye that have been skinny for 2 years. As far as angling goes, I would not say it's the greatest thing. It is now going to fish like a very typical, bait fish infested water. So, again, you're going to have to be a little bit more conscious of what you're doing right now, opposed to maybe what you were doing a month ago. So there is a ton of bait. The bait is everywhere. The bait has now moved offshore and is out in the body of water. So whether you're fishing Chatfield, Cherry Creek, Pueblo, all of these fisheries had a very good bait spawn. So the shad are thick. So many anglers are used to going out, doing their traditional live bait techniques, bottom bouncers and all of that, and they're not having success. And I keep hearing that it's the heat that is causing these fish not to bite, which is not the case. The heat is pulling the shad to the surface, and if the shad are at the surface, I guarantee you your predators that eat the shad are with them. So if you want to go out there and have a great, successful day on mature walleyes and some of those bigger walleyes, you are fishing just below that bait. Again, you're going to have to use your electronics, find the bait, and fish just underneath them. But if I had to say a general rule of thumb, I would say majority of the fish in all these fisheries is in the top 10 feet of the water column. So if you are a person that can fish crankbaits, you're a person that likes to troll, I would head out to open water, find bait fish, and pull crankbaits just below those bait fish, and you're going to have a very successful day on walleyes. If you're an angler that does not like the crankbait technique, you don't like trolling, you want to work a soft plastic and things like that, that approach is still existent. The biggest thing is you have to find shallow water structure. So if your walleyes are in 7, 8, 9 feet of water, you have to find shallow enough structure that is shallow than that to where the walleye still can sit on structure and still approach, still eat on bait fish that's approaching. So if you are a structure angler, you want to fish a blade bait, that's, you know, any of those traditional jigging style baits, you're going to be looking for structure that is, say, 5 to 10 feet in depth, nothing deeper than that. Again, you still have to have a funnel effect. So again, if you are fishing traditional structure in that 14 to 20 foot zone, your success rate is going to be going down. Move to shallow water structure, points, real shallow flats, things that you would normally avoid because you're worried about hitting your boat on. That's the type of structure that's going to be holding fish right now. So as a walleye angler, shallow water structure, if you're working baits, if you're a troller, just go find suspended bait, put your baits underneath them, and you're going to catch those fish. So the walleye bite is very much still very hot, but it has drastically changed in the last month or so. So be adaptive, move with that, accompany what's going on, you're still going to have that success. But if you're going to continue with the traditional styles that you've been doing a month ago, you might not have that success. So really adapt to that situation. That's going to create success for you.
Got about 2 minutes left, Nate. What else is happening?
You know, the mountain lakes are fishing very well. We're starting to see those colder temps starting to, really have an effect on those fish, I would say. We're starting to see some variations of overall the thermocline. I don't want to say the lakes have turned over, but you're definitely seeing some changes in the water conditions due to those colder temps at night. But the pike fishing is picking up. We've had a lot of people talk about, some of the fish they've seen on our Facebook page as far as big pike go. We're definitely seeing that early fall patterns for pike. So spinner baits, buzz those baits. The pike bite is going in most places across the state. The trout bite, again, we have damsels that are cruising the shorelines early in the day. So a lot of active trout in low light period. So in the low light period, we're saying early morning, evening, and even if you get a lot of wind, that'll kind of create that low light period in that water column. So I would definitely do a lot of focus on fishing in those earlier and later stages of the day for the trout as those opportunities exist. But again, good trout action kind of all over the state. The bass, same thing. We have actually some great topwater action for bass across the state, but very, very much a low light and or dark bite. You can start the bass an hour before it gets light. You're going to have a lot of success with that topwater and those very, very low light periods of the day for those. So again, a lot of fishing action. As it is hot, you know, you're really putting a lot of focus on the patterns and catering to the fish more so than ever, and you're going to have that success with all those fish.
All right. If people want more information or book a trip, how do they find you, Nate?
Absolutely. You know, you can go to our Facebook page and go to our website. We do have another catch rate event at Chatfield. We had a great turnout last Wednesday. Normally it's every other Wednesday. This week we're doing them back to back. So this coming Wednesday at Chatfield, we have another catch rate event. Again, if you've heard about this, but you haven't done it, we encourage everybody, give it a try. It's something that you must see, the camaraderie, the seeing what other anglers are doing. It's a really neat event. So that's at Chatfield. You just drop in, no sign up. You show up at the North Boat Dock between 3 and 4 p.m. to register. 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. is the event. It's $20 per species. You can fish one species. You can fish all four species. But $20 an angler, it is a great time. So we encourage everybody, come down and chat. Those coming Wednesday, check it out. You'll have a great time there.
All right, my friend, we will talk to you again next week.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, bye.
All right, Nate Zielinski with Tightline Outdoors, tightlineoutdoors.com and Tightline Outdoors on Facebook. We'll take a quick time out, and we come back. The folks from Jack's Outdoor Gear are going to join us, and we're going to talk archery on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.